Well, good evening,
Love
everybody.
Talk Radio.
Nancy Ryan, host of Ryan Rocks It Asbury Park Style. I'm really happy to be here with you, as usual. I love these half-an-hour shows. They go so darn fast, though. My episodes recently have been about my childhood experiences, and last week I spoke about my mother's mother and all about, you know, how she treated me and all of my fond memories of her. And I touched on a topic, thinking of my mother's sister. And I just have to say before I even start my show today that my beloved Aunt Jean was 91 years old, and she passed away on February, I believe it was the 19th. And in any case, I loved her very much, and she was my mother's sister. And my mother had a brother, a half-brother, that had passed away many, many, many years ago. But my Aunt Jean was a very happy person, and I loved her a lot. And she would always say to me, Nancy, be happy every single day of your life. She was a very happy person and a total Yankee fan. She loved the Yankees. She actually moved to Port St. Lucie. She moved to be close to their training camp so she could watch them training every year. And she had Mickey Mantle's, a picture of him and his autograph written to, you know, to Jean. Loved Mickey Mantle, and she had a baseball with his signature on it. Anyway, Aunt Jean, we all miss you. We love you very much, and we miss you, and we know that you are happy, as happy, happier than you ever were on Earth, if that's possible. So now I'll begin my show, and this is a special solo show about my childhood memories, and this is about my father's mother, who I called Mom, and how she cared for me as I was growing up, and some interesting things that my grandmother and I talked about, and some endearing memories of my grandmother and our Sunday evening dinners together. My father was a fantastic son, and he would pick my grandmother up and bring her for a Sunday dinner. So anyway, before I get into talking about my mom, I just want to say to everyone, just sit back and relax for a little bit. Let all of your cares and worries of the day or of the week or the month, just let them all go. And I hope that my sharing some of my happy memories with you will evoke in you memories of your own childhood and the people that were very dear and close to you, whether they be grandparents or an elderly person that you knew when you were growing up, someone that you looked up to, someone that you looked forward to being with and listening to and just being close to. So here I go as I remember and talk about my mom. My mom was a German woman who married an Irish man, and my grandfather was William Joseph Ryan, and my grandmother was Helen Rank was her last name, I believe. And she was a very kind of short little woman, but typically German stern. She had a sternness about her, but she also had a big heart. But she didn't show it a lot. But I would know it, and I would see it every now and then. You'd catch her off her guard and know that she had a big heart. She had five children, as most Irish Catholic families had lots of children. And actually, she had six children altogether, and one of her children died when they were very young, and that was very, very sad for the family. But about my mom, she was a very typical German woman, and they actually had, I believe, a bakery up in Astoria, Queens. Her parents had immigrated, I believe, into New York City. And I don't know a heck of a lot of that history, but what I do know of my grandmother is the way she cared for her children and the way she cared for her grandchildren. And as I said, my father would go every Sunday from when I was very young. He was a very good son. And he would go, come up and pick my grandmother up when she lived up. They had moved from, well, first of all, my grandfather died at a very young age. He was only 55 years old. And he was a really tall man, I recall. He was like 6'4". And he was also, he was German, and he was German-Irish. He was very, very stern, and he didn't say too much, my pop-pop. That's what we called him, pop-pop. But after he died, my grandmother was very sad, and she never remarried again. And I know that, you know, sometimes she used to be teased a little bit. She was a pretty woman, and, you know, my dad or other people would say to her, Mom, you ought to get a boyfriend, because there were men, I guess, that would go try to get dates with my grandmother, and she would say, oh, pshaw, or whatever. No, no way. She was never going to remarry. She was never going to go out with another man. She loved one man in her life, and that was it. She was a very loyal woman, and that's, you know, I respected that, and I looked up to my grandmother for that. So my dad would, you know, I would go with my father sometimes to pick up my grandmother, and she lived right on Brighton Avenue in, well, she lived on Bangs Avenue for a while, but then she lived on Brighton Avenue in West End. And right across, right up near the ocean, there's like a Tasty yogurt place. And then there were buildings on top of stores. And actually, they just burnt down about, I don't know, time flies, you know. So it might have even been 9 months to a year ago now. And they had a fire there in 1923 as well. But the fire on Brighton Avenue then was up the street, closer to where the farm, across the street from where the pharmacy was. But my grandmother lived right upstairs from one of those where their jewelry stores were, and where there was a graphic arts store. And she was up on the second story, I remember, and we would go there many times to visit, and during the week sometimes. And then, but every Sunday we would drive up about maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, two or three, and pick up my grandmother and bring her to our home, where we would have, she would have Sunday dinner with us. And she would get dressed up, I mean, on Sunday. She would really get dressed up, and she would have, you know, dress shoes on and a pretty dress, and she would put jewelry on, and she would even wear a hat, and sometimes she would have gloves. And, you know, those were the days, and that was way back in the 50s and the 60s. And my grandmother was just a sweet woman. I remember saying she was stern, but there was a sweetness about her. And she was kind of quiet, and she was really cute, because she would come in and my dad would say, "So, Mom," he'd go, "How about a beer?" Oh, and she would like hesitate, and she'd go, "Oh, only one. Oh, just give me a little glass." And my mother had these, they were juice glasses, I remember. And so my dad would pour like just a little juice glass of beer for my grandmother. And we really didn't pay attention to how much, I don't really remember if they filled that juice glass up, you know, once or twice or whatever. All I remember is that my grandmother would always, my mom would always say, "I'm only having one." That's what I remembered about her, is "I'm only having one." So, and my mother would cook these wonderful meals. I mean, there were lots of kids in my family, and I was the oldest girl. And so there was my brother Billy, and then me, and then my brother Bobby, who has since passed away, bless his soul, and my brother Jay. We had another brother that did not grow up with us, and he's in Florida. And then we had and then there was a sister, Peggy, and I go through this every week, I guess, and then a sister, Joanne, and then Gina. So there were lots of children. And when I was growing up, it was almost like having two different sets of families. And so perhaps it was my brother Billy, me, my brother Bobby, my brother Jay, and then Peggy as being very young when my grandmother was coming up for dinner. But it was still a full round table. And we would eat dinner at 5 o'clock every night, even on Sundays. Every night of the week, it was 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It was very regimented, and almost like the army, even though my dad didn't go into the army because he had hypertension and he was not ever recruited to go into the army. So, and it's a good thing because he had too many darn children to take care of. But getting back to Mom, we'd pick her up and she'd come down, and it was just always so nice. It was a warm feeling to have my grandmother with us. And my mother would have these wonderful meals. And we were very blessed to have a mom that, as a matter of fact, my mother kind of grew up with my grandmother, because my mother, when she was 16 years old, her mother, my Nana, was a baby nurse, and she would be away for long periods of time because she would go pick up the mother at the hospital and then live with them for like a month and a half sometimes with these wealthy families. And so my mother was in high school, and so that she wouldn't be alone, actually, my mother for a while moved in with my father when she was 16 years old. In those days, things were a little bit different. And my mother actually learned how to cook from my grandmother. And my grandmother was an excellent cook, a really excellent cook. And she had, like I said, well, she had six children totally. One passed away, James, when he was young. But so she was cooking for five people, and actually six, seven people altogether, her husband and herself. So my mother would cook big meals. We would have, chicken and potato, meat and potatoes. That was the Irish Catholic way. And with that, of course, we would always have bread and milk and butter and a few vegetables, maybe coleslaw. There was always plenty of food to eat. We never, ever went hungry, that is for sure. In fact, we were blessed beyond when it came to having really good food to eat. And I thank my parents for that. It was a blessing, because lots of families didn't have that in those days. So, and we would sit at the table for quite a while. It wasn't like sit down, gobble it down like today. Families have lost that. You know, I don't even know if families get together anymore and sit down and have dinner together. And I really appreciated that. That was a time of fellowship with your family, when everyone would be together and you would be eating and there would be conversation. And it was nice. And my mother would always have a dessert too. My mother was big on that. And so we would like settle down and have a few minutes to clear the table, wait maybe 15 minutes, and then we would have a nice dessert. And my mother would always cook and bake. Either she would make bread pudding or rice pudding, or she would make a pie. We would always have homemade food. We never grew up having junk food in our house. We didn't grow up having sodas or chips, potato chips or things like that. The only time I can remember ever having anything like that would be if we would go to the beach in the summertime, and as a treat, we'd be able to have maybe, a bag of potato chips or a soda. There was milk, orange juice, apple juice, just more of a healthy diet in the house. And then my dad, every now and then, he would stop at one of his favorite restaurants, and he would get maybe a piece of cheesecake. And he'd bring, you know, an extra piece home, and we'd all maybe get a bite of it, and that would be it. So we didn't have, like, a lot of ice cream and things like that when I was growing up. However, in the summer, I must say, I remember that when the ice cream truck would come along, we would all, you know, get our, my parents would give us a quarter or whatever it cost, and we were able to run out and get an ice cream in the summertime. So that was our treat. We'd have an ice cream pop or a sandwich or whatever. My mom, okay, getting off, and eating was an important part of the Irish-German tradition, as it is in many families. I mean, let's face it, we all, you know, most of us love to eat. And families get together and cook together and eat together and pray together and play together, and it's a big part of life. I remember when my grandmother would come in, and when I didn't go to pick her up, I would always say, Mom, and I would get her coat and take her pocketbook and hang her coat up and put her pocketbook away and with her coat in the closet, and I would say, Mom, what a pretty dress you have on, because she would always be dressed up and have her stockings on. And I'd say, Mom, you look so pretty, and she would say, oh, shaw, or whatever. She would just kind of put it off, and she would always have her hair done pretty, and she kept it kind of short, but it would be curly. She would have set it, and it would be curly, and she kept it gray. She would never colored her hair, so she had gray hair, and she never wore makeup. Maybe a few times I saw her with a little bit of lipstick on. That's all that she would wear, but she was a pretty woman. And I'd say, you look so pretty, and oh, what a pretty pin you have on. And she'd whisper to me about her dresses. I'd say, Mom, your dress is so pretty. Where did you get that? And she would get real close to me, and she would say, oh, don't tell anybody, but oh, I got it up, and she would tell me about this. And I called my mom a secondhand rose, because she would get her dresses at secondhand stores. And she would say, don't tell anybody. I paid 50 cents for this dress. And I it would make me smile. And it would make me happy. And I definitely took on a lot of that, because I would go to secondhand places and buy clothes my entire life after that. I saved a lot of money on clothes. And I also always dressed differently than most kids, because I didn't go to stores and I didn't wear, you know, in quotes, the fashionable, you know, high name tag brands of clothes, because I was probably mostly behind the times, because I would go to the secondhand shops and buy different clothes like that. So I talked about my mom and the type of, you know, woman. She was very, loved her children very much, and she was very involved in her children's lives. And she was, when she wasn't with us for Sunday, she was with her other children, and how she, you know, spent her elderly from 55 on. I think she was about the same age as my grandfather. She lived a single life, and in West End, and then she lived in Deal for a while across the street from one of my aunts, and she visited, you know, all the holidays we spent together, Christmases and Easters, and so we would all get together with our aunts and uncles, and my mom was always there, and we all loved her, and she also loved being with all of us. So the secondhand rose part, it was always, you know, a different dress and different jewelry. And she would always compliment me back and say, oh, that's really pretty, Nancy. Even into my adult life, she would say to me, oh, Nancy. I remember she said once about a necklace that I had that she really liked. She said, that's such a beautiful necklace. And I took it off and I just said, well, Mom, I want you to have it, and you put it on. So I put it around her neck. Oh, no, I can't take that from you. I said, well, just borrow it then. And, you know, I did this with my mother, and I did this a lot. I bought my mother when I was 18 years old a necklace. I was 18, and it was my mother's birthday, and I still have that necklace, which I really want to get out and start wearing more, because it just brings me back to the love of my mother. And my mother, she was not a secondhand rose. My mother grew up, actually, some of her life was spent in an orphanage, and my dad was a great provider, and my mother liked fashion a lot, and she went and would buy beautiful clothes, and she also was a fabulous tailor and sewed a lot of her own clothes. So she was very fashionable and dressed very nice. But I bought my mother this necklace, and then she would give it to me, and I would have it for a few years or a year, and then I'd give it back to her, and she would wear it, and we would did that back and forth our whole lives, and it was just something that we shared together, an intimacy that that, you know, having that possession and sharing that possession. So this was an Avon necklace, and it was very simple necklace, and all it had was white crystals, like a few crystals, and then the chain, and then a crystal in the chain, and I still have that necklace. And so I would give it to my mom, and she would wear it for a few years, and then she would give it back to me, and I would wear it, and we did that too. And then when she died, of course, passed away, it was given back to me, and I have it till this day. And I haven't worn it in a while, and I think I'm going to get it out as well and wear it, because I have a pair of very simple crystal drop earrings that I could wear with it. And I love jewelry, and I have a lot of it as well. So I got that from my mother and my grandmother. And pins, I love pins are coming back in, and what I like to do with them is wear them as a brooch and just put them on a necklace. So I had intended on starting to do that, and I'm going to start doing that. So my grandmother gave me a lot of things. She gave me a lot of things to cherish in my life, and that's number one. I know she loved me very much, and she gave me her cooking, which I admire and which I learned how to be a cook from my mother. And so I became, from what my family tell me and my ex-husband tells me, two of them I've had, and they said I was a fantastic cook. So I believe them, and I think I am a pretty good cook. I don't cook as much anymore because I don't have anyone to cook for but myself. But so she gave me that. And she gave me being practical. Like knowing how to go to the secondhand stores and picking out some really nice things at a very decent price. And I just have so many fond memories of my grandmother. The Sunday evening dinners were oh so special to me. And I feel like, I remember my father, when I came to pick up my grandmother with my father, we used to come to Peter Cooper Village, and that's where I live now. And it's so weird in a way because I remember picking my grandmother up, and I remember my grandmother living in apartment number 129J, and I live at Peter Cooper Village now. I said that. I'm repeating myself, and maybe I shouldn't be telling people where I live, but that's okay. I'm an open book. I came here to take care of my mother because I promised my mother that if she ever needed me, I would come back and take care of her. And she made that phone call to me when I was in California, and I did come home. And I only have, my time is up already. I can't believe how fast the time goes. But it came full circle for me. My parents, my grandmother lived here for many years till she was 94 years old. She lived alone. She never went into an assisted living. Bless her heart, she was a rugged German woman, and she was a very proud woman. And anyway, my parents ended up selling their home to my sister. Gina bought our house in Allenhurst, and I had an aunt that lived here. My parents lived here. Now I live here. It's just an amazing thing how history repeats itself. I want to stop saying and that's why I do my shows. I'm trying to become a better broadcaster and learn how to be a public speaker. It's a challenge for me. And there I go with the ums again. It's when I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. I usually have no problem sharing what I'm going to say next. I think being a senior citizen now myself and having my family doing these shows on my family, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet because now I have lost, of course, my grandmothers have been gone for many years, and my parents now have been gone. My mother had deceased 2.5 years now. And boy, I was lucky to have her for so long because lots of my friends have lost their parents 20 years ago. So I was very fortunate to have my mother live as long as she did. And then my aunt just passed away last month, and she was 91 years old. So I consider myself to be very blessed. However, she lived in Florida. I didn't get to see her. But my memories, I am doing a show on my aunts and uncles, and that will be my next Blog Talk Radio show. So I'll have a lot of time to talk about them and remember my sweet Aunt Jean. But my mom, I can just say to you, mom, like I said to my Nana the last show I did, how much I loved you, that I still love you. I have fond memories of you, and you are a loving woman who loved her children very much and was always there for us. You know, you always showed up, and you made us feel special. I know you made me feel very special, just the way you cared for yourself by taking the effort to put on your nice outfits and come for Sunday dinner every Sunday, no matter how you were feeling, and suiting up, showing up, being with us, and sharing your life with us. And that was very important to me. And sometimes I feel sad because of the disintegration of the family life, because children don't, you know, years ago, families lived on the same block or at least 10 minutes away from each other. And they had those special, you know, when I grew up, we spent time with our cousins and our aunts and uncles on every holiday. We were all together. And it's not like that anymore. It doesn't seem to be like that anymore, especially when your parents are gone. And anyway, children are not, families are all over the not only the country, but people are moving to other countries and living in other countries. I have a cousin who lives in Germany now for many, many years. I can't even say how long. I don't know if it's 20 years. I'm not sure. But, you know, people live all over the world and go to college. I have a niece who went to the University of Cairo and was in Saudi Arabia. And so, you know, I miss that. My children, I have a daughter here in Trenton and two grandchildren, and they're grown up now, and I hardly see them. And I don't. My daughter Nina lives in Portland, and I have two granddaughters there, and I have a great grandson in Portland, and I don't get to see them. And we Facebook and we talk on the phone, and I miss them. I really miss them, and I've thought often about, well, I was thinking about moving to Portland when my mother made that call and said, Nancy, I need you to come back to New Jersey. So I've been in New Jersey for 6 years now, and I'm thinking about it a lot lately, a lot. The older I get and the more I realize, Nancy, your family is not here. I mean, your family's in, you know, my brother's in Vermont, and they're just cueing me that I have 90 seconds left in my show. So I'm going to stop now and just say this. Love your family. If you think about them, call them and tell them you love them. Don't put it off and say, I'll call them tomorrow. Call them now and let them know how much you love them and treasure them and how important they are to you. This is Nancy Ryan. It's my show. It's called Ryan Rocks It, Asbury Park Style. I do have another show, and it's with HamiltonRadio.net, where I have special guests, and they talk about themselves. And I listen to them, and I ask them questions about how they grew up, and I ask them all about their childhood memories so that they can share them with you, so that hopefully you can get from them what I'm trying to give to you. And that's memories, evoking your special memories of your special people in your life. You know, your grandparents, your parents, your aunts and uncles, your cousins, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the closest, your friends. You know, sometimes our friends are the closest to us, even closer than our family. So with that, I'm going to sign off and say, this is Nancy Ryan. It's been a fantastic half an hour with you. Thank you so much if you're listening. I appreciate every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And my last two words to you are peace out.